We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to New Orleans.Football Live. I'm Brooke Kirchhoffer. He's Nick Underhill. YouTube is trying to take us down, but we're back. We got plenty to get to. The big news of the day, Bill Belichick is leaving New England. What that means for the New Orleans Saints, because it does, specifically the NFC South, potentially. We will find out shortly here how much it does affect the Saints moving forward. But man, another end of an era. Pete Carroll moving into front office duties. Nick Saban retiring from college football. And Bill Belichick leaving New England. I know you being there, you probably have a lot to get to in today's show about that.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. Big news for the NFL landscape shifting, honestly. But we'll get into all that on today's show, presented by PJ's Coffee. And if you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Mac Bowers. He has dealerships all over the region. Best cars, best prices, best customer care. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans.Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show.
Let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. They are also home to a beautiful engagement salon where they have a wide selection of engagement rings. And while you're there, ask them about their Flirtily collection of earrings and necklace that you see here. I have on now. It's almost February, guys. Mark that on your calendars. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, let's get to the lead topic. Bill Belichick is officially moving on from New England. It's not the Nick Saban retirement. Bill Belichick does plan on coaching beyond just his tenure in New England. And he's 71, going on 72 in April, shows no signs of stopping. But the Falcons are the ones that have the big interest, and that's the rumors we are hearing, at least, that they want to bring in Bill Belichick.
Yeah, look, it makes sense. I mean, they got a good team. Belichick, he's going to have his choice of spots. Atlanta's going to be one that's probably extremely desirable. They got a lot of good young players, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think they're going to have their choice of a lot of different people, throughout this process. So that's going to be one of the more desirable locations. They got a lot of good young players, and they got a good mix of old guys too, like Jesse Bates and some other core players there. So I think it's going to be kind of real. I mean, look, this was rumored before this even happened. So like they've been talking about it for a while. I think Atlanta's going to make a big push. I think for Bill, it's a good situation because you can put him with Terry Fontenot. Mm-hmm. Like Bill's shortcoming really has been as a personnel guy more so than anything. It's not really the coaching. He just doesn't know how to identify the right types of players. Hasn't done a good job specifically like wide receiver. It's a position that he just hasn't valued. And then when he started to value it, he couldn't find the right guys. And I just think that roster kind of deteriorated quite a bit. There is probably a question of like, has the game passed Bill by a little bit? He's an older guy and things have shifted a little bit under his feet. Getting his footing post Brady has not really gone well for them. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to be fascinated to see if this kind of works out. They were talking about Carolina today too. Mm-hmm. So those are two spots for sure. I think I've seen something where the Chargers aren't expected to be in on them. So, I mean, it might be the NFC South one way or the other, but I think Atlanta's a great situation. So, I mean, if he wants to go there, and I think he should, and if Atlanta wants him, I mean, it would make a lot of sense.
It's all about landing spot, too. I don't know if Denver was essentially at the head of Sean Payton's list when he was thinking about getting back into football. We'll see if Bill Belichick will be able to pick what team he goes to, because as we know, the Falcons have requested to interview reportedly a lot of coaches. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but the reason why it's not that surprising to me that Bill Belichick is still wanting to coach, he's so close to Don Shula. He is so close to that number. Don Shula coached for 33 years to get those numbers, 328 regular season wins, 19 playoff wins, two-time Super Bowl champ. You can count the 302 regular season wins for Bill Belichick, but it's the numbers underneath that stand out the most. 31 playoff wins, a six-time Super Bowl champ. Say what you will, if it was Brady, if it was Bill, look, it was the combo. Bill Belichick, somebody had to call the plays, somebody had to be the head coach. The fact that Bill Belichick has that many wins and has that much to his resume, a lot of teams, I feel like, are going to be calling for him, right, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is interesting between Shula and Belichick. I don't know. I guess Shula probably is probably like top two or three. It's probably is Bill Lombardi and Shula probably, right? I mean, that's probably the list. Parcells is somewhere in that top 10.
Yeah.
Walsh, yeah, for sure, is somewhere in that top 10. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess Shula probably would probably be number two. But maybe Lombardi. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, look, I think Atlanta's going to have their choice of guys. I mean, look, Ben Johnson's a good one for them. Aaron Glenn, he almost – turn the tide for the Saints. Like that, he was the one guy that the Saints considered when they were talking to Dennis Allen. They brought in Aaron Glenn for an interview amongst those guys, and he was like one of the few guys that kind of got some consideration from them legitimately. So if that was ever going to go a different way, I think sooner or later Glenn's going to get that job, like get one of those jobs. They had that vote with the NFLPA, like among the coordinators, he was on the list like the coordinators of players like the most. So, you know, I think at one point or another, it's going to come from, but like Atlanta's going to have their choice of people, man. And it's a interesting path. Like you got them and you got the Saints and they're kind of going different directions. It feels like right now. And I think the Falcons are kind of the path of like the rebuild. And then you got the Saints kind of like as the hold on and try to figure it out. And like, who's going to get there first, if anybody gets there at all. It's fascinating. Atlanta's got to figure out quarterback, though, and that's a really hard thing to do.
I was about to say, it depends on who the quarterback is, because as we see, that was the big issue in New England. Was it Mac Jones? Was it Bailey Zappi? Were you benching Mac Jones, starting Bailey Zappi? It was so back and forth. It was so much turmoil. I think it was time for Bill to move on, bring somebody new in. I mean, you kind of feel for the kid, Mac Jones, just the way that the situation was handled. I think mentally, he's probably trying to get over some of the things that happened during the season. I think he'll be in a better place too with a different coach if he's still in New England. We'll see what the future holds with Mac Jones. And also,
Mac wanted to come here
to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I heard that last offseason. Yeah.
You think that's still an option?
I mean, look, I think Derek Carr is better than him anyhow, but like it was something that like Mac was looking at the situation and was like kind of pondering whether he wanted to be in or be out. And I heard pretty strongly, like not like hard report, but like very strong rumor, Mac wanted to come here. Yeah.
It's a perfect segue into our next topic. Is Derek Carr still reaching his ceiling in New Orleans, or have we seen all that we will see from the 10-year vet? If you watched the dot earlier today, the stats show that, yes, he's ascending. Has he reached the top? The Saints fans probably hope not. They still want to see more from Derek Carr. I think the biggest thing is, all right, what you did in those last four games, maybe bring that into next season and create some consistency, because that was the biggest frustration this year, is it was highs and lows. Now, look, Derek Carr was dealing with injuries. So was the offensive line. I think when they figured out some of those things, Derek Carr got healthier. The offensive line was playing better. You did see the quarterback play improve. I like seeing the quarterback wide receiver connection in that last Falcons game. I can't overstate how happy I was to see A.T. Perry, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed make the plays they did. Derek Carr giving them catchable balls, but also giving them a chance to go up and win 50-50 balls. I think that's super helpful moving into this season. But has Derek Carr reached his ceiling? He has had 10 years in the NFL.
No, I mean, I don't think he's reached his ceiling. I mean, we saw four games of him playing better than he ever has with the Saints. So, I mean, I think there's still probably more there. Like, the ceiling is consistency. Like, can he be more consistent? I think he'd probably be more consistent in the right circumstance. Yeah. Like, will he actually? I mean, that's kind of the big question. But, like, if they build the right system around him, you get good protection, you get him with the OC that he clicks with and he likes. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a level of consistency. Like, we've seen him be more consistent in Oakland, like under Gruden, Vegas under Gruden, wherever the hell they were playing that year. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a possibility of him figuring this out, being consistent, being just the guy that we saw the last 4 weeks, maybe not to that level, maybe a touch below, but be that the whole entire year. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely a path for him to play better.
And come Monday, we might know the answers. So at least we should, yeah. Right, Nick? Because they'll be back. I don't think the Saints would wait more than a week, right, to make a decision at OC? Or is it because Pete Carmichael has been there so long, it might take a little bit longer than what we're expecting? Because we are expecting to hear some shakeups on Monday. We're not saying OC. We're saying offensive staff changes, which we do expect to hear this offseason.
I mean, I think, to be fair to the process, I mean, no. I mean, I don't – maybe next week. Maybe. But, like – so last year they tried to do it and they couldn't get the guys they wanted to get.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't really found out until the Senior Bowl, which was a couple weeks after. I remember getting the call, like coming back from the Senior Bowl, kind of like explaining the decision or whatever. Like, so that was kind of, yeah. I mean, look, it could take a little bit. Like, they could start their process next week, but like, you aren't necessarily parting ways unless you know you're getting the guy you want. So it might not be next. It kind of just depends on how everything plays out. But this year, I don't know, maybe there could be a hard line in the sand and it's just like, we're getting rid of them and we're replacing them no matter what. But, and look, I think it's a better environment right now, too. There was like 16 or 17 OCs hired last year at this time. So, like, it was a little bit scarier. It was like, you know, you didn't know if you could get your guys. So, it, you know, theoretically, it should happen next week. But, like, I can't say for sure Monday. Yeah. Like, just because they're coming back Monday, it doesn't mean they're going to act Monday. It could just be, you know, it could be something that takes a little bit longer in the week. But in you know, the most humane type of situation, if you are parting ways with people, I think we start hearing about some of them, yeah, early in the week.
You mentioned the Senior Bowl. It's a perfect time to plug NewOrleans.football. If you are not a member on NewOrleans.football, you better be before the Senior Bowl. NOF will be represented at the Senior Bowl, and that's where some things shake out of the tree. We
all the time.
Yep. It's a great way for us to kind of feel where everything is at and get a kind of grip on what could potentially be coming. What are we hearing from the players? What the players are hearing from scouts, which could be Saint scouts. So for those that don't know, how do you sign up and subscribe to New Orleans Football?
NewOrleans.football/subscribe.
There we go. Yep. Easy enough. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. Next big topic for the Saints this offseason. Who will be the priority in free agency?
Like, among their own guys?
Yeah.
So the list of free agents coming up: Mike Thomas, Andrus Peat, Jameis Winston, Jimmy Graham, Lonnie Johnson, Ike Yiadom, Zach Bond, Cam Irving, Max Garcia, Ty Summers, Ugo Amadi, Kyle Phillips, Jonathan Abram, Malcolm Roach, Keith Kirkwood, and Andrew Dowell. Those are the unrestricted free agents. They got some restricted and exclusive rights guys. Rashid Shaheed is exclusive rights. So, I mean, that's one where it's just like, all right, we're keeping you. And they keep them. Sometimes they sign those guys to extensions and more money or whatever, but like, it is entirely up to them whether they keep him or not. So out of the guys on this list, priorities. So I think Jameis Winston's an interesting one because, like, if they keep him, they can lower the cap hit of him leaving. So that's one that I would keep an eye on. But, like, priority, that's a bit of a stretch. But that has to happen by the third day of the league year. Otherwise, there's all this money gets paid. So that would be March 16th, I think it is, on him. The decision has to come by then, but it'll come probably long before that. But, yeah, so free agents, the four guys that I kind of have bolded: Mike Thomas, Andrus Peat, Ike Yiadom, Zach Bond. Those would be my priorities. Will they be their priorities? I don't know. I think their priorities will probably be Andrus Peat. And I think if you get rid of Marshon Lattimore, Ike Yiadom becomes a major priority. But it's crazy because both these ones are self-inflicted, forced, we have to keep these guys type situations because they screwed up so bad at left tackle that they kind of have to keep Peat at this point. And if they let Marshon go, you kind of have to keep Ike because you've created this hole and you kind of got to keep some depth. I think Alante would probably be your outside cornerback, But I think you want to keep Ike Yiadom and let him battle it out in camp and kind of see how that situation unfolds. So it's fascinating that they have holes that they just opened up themselves.
And there's four guys. Let's be clear on that. Four that, depending on how you weigh them, I think the names of those four that are your biggest priorities in free agency says a lot about this roster and the amount of holes that are in this team. And I think it's going to be so important for them to have a really, really active offseason, an active draft. We'll see what happens. The Marshawn Lattimore contract, I don't know how that would play into this year as far as getting another first round pick and then potentially moving up. Does that happen in time for the draft? We'll see. There's so much at play here, but this is a roster that, yes, you see some of the pieces, but there seems to be so many missing pieces to the puzzle for next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of holes, a lot of stuff they got to do. You know, going through the list, yeah, I mean, there's a handful of guys on here that I think are important to keep, too. You know, I think you got to try to keep, you know, I think there's multiple offensive linemen. I mean, there's just a lot. Jonathan Abram, somebody that I would probably want to keep on my team. I'd like to keep Kirkwood around. I mean, it's there's a lot of work to do. And, yeah, letting some of these guys go, I think, would be problematic. I think you got to keep a lot of them. They're going to be cost controlled. You got to keep your depth. Better depth you have. Yeah, better situation you're in. Less holes in the draft, all that stuff. So you're always better keeping your own guys. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Mike. I mean, I think, I don't know. At this time last year, we thought he wasn't coming back, and then he ended up coming back. So I don't want to say anything definitive, but he's someone that I think I would probably bet on him playing somewhere else next year. Just kind of on his own accord, but if he decides the situation's right, I mean, there's probably always a path back.
Look, and the Saints proved just how important it is to have depth. Not just a second, but a third. Like, they were deep enough to weather the storm as far as injuries. We were talking about that before a potential playoff run. If they would have made it into the playoffs, you know, that all the scenarios that had to happen, none of them fell through for the New Orleans Saints. They did win their last game, but the other things that needed to happen did not happen. But we were even questioning, does this team even healthy enough to, if they win one playoff game, what happens next? Because there has been so many injuries, and Andres Pete left that game. I think he came back in, but still, I mean, bruised, battered, injuries. A lot of the guys you mentioned, Ike Yiadom, Jonathan Abram, you don't necessarily want to go into the season with those guys as your ones, because then who's their twos and threes?
It gets
into really scary waters. But speaking of a one, DeMario Davis, he was on the PFF 2023 NFL All-Pro team. How well did Davis actually play in 2023? Now, look, there were no Saints on the players All-Pro team, but still a kudos to him for making the PFF team.
Yeah, look, how good did he play? I mean, look, his numbers are kind of crazy. He had 26 stops, it's most since 2019. 12 tackles for a loss, most as a Saint. 19 pressures, and we'll just do this by percentage because there's only X amount, you know, it's a better look at a total pass rush. So he got a pressure on 17% of his pass rush snaps. So in 2022, he was at 20%, 2021, 14%, 2020, 21%. So he's kind of right on par with everything over the last 4 years, little down compared to last year, but still right around that neighborhood. So he had 9 missed tackles, which was one less than last year. To be fair to that, though, if you go back to like 18, 19, he was only missing like 2 a year. So there's a little bit of a change there on those plays. But here's where kind of stuff starts to get a little bit crazy. 215 pass yards allowed. That's the lowest total as a Saint. So his coverage was better than it's ever been in terms of yards allowed. And okay, so over how many snaps? 567 coverage snaps. Second most as a Saint. So he was in coverage pretty much more than he ever has been, except for 1 year, and had the lowest pass yardage total allowed as a Saint. 121 tackles on the season, most as a Saint. 6.5 sacks, tied for his most as a Saint. So, I mean, by the numbers, by almost virtually every measure, man's been at the top of his game.
Hey, he better keep it up if he said he wants to play 2 years after LeBron retires, who is still playing. I don't know if you guys watched our DeMario Davis feature that's up on our YouTube. It's remarkable, the body of work that DeMario and his team have done over the years to figure out this perfect formula for him specifically that's keeping him playing at the height of his game, and the stats prove it. But I want to know, look, and we did this whole story about when and if he'll retire when he wants to, but do the numbers climb next year? The reason why I ask that is because, can Pete Werner really be the long-term replacement for DeMario Davis if DeMario decides to move on to another team or stays here in New Orleans? We know that He has a home here and he's got a lot of business ventures in New Orleans. But bringing Pete Werner in, wasn't he supposed to be the replacement for an eventual retirement from DeMario?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, it's part of the succession plan, I guess, if it got there. But I mean, they needed a weak side linebacker at the same time, and that was kind of a major need for him. But if there was ever like a moving on, the hope was probably that Pete could be that guy. But at this rate, like Pete might out, or DeMario might like outlast Pete's contract if they don't resign him. So, I mean, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I don't know that we've seen the ascension from Werner that I was kind of expecting to see, though. I mean, that's one of the things that you kind of gotta look at in this equation. Like, I think he started out at a really good level, and I think it's just kind of been a little bit flat, which doesn't mean he's playing poorly or bad. Like, I think he's still good. I mean, I thought we'd kind of see him straight up, and like maybe it gets there still. He's still a young player and everything. So circumstances might change, but you know, as far as like someone pushing DeMario out the door, I don't
see
that.
It's not Pete Werner. Yeah, and to be fair, he was dealing with some pretty severe injuries. Yeah. Wasn't it last training camp? We did not see him until I believe like the first preseason game or something like that. Like, so he's dealt with some serious injuries here and there, whether they're on the injury report or not. I feel like Pete Werner is always a guy who's got like tape somewhere and is trying to stay healthy. Linebacker, that position though, it's hard to do, but
to be fair though, I don't think they lie on their injury report. So
No. I'm not saying that, but you know, like just the little nicks and bruises, something that would not show up on an injury report, I think is somebody like Pete Werner, he's going to battle through. But because it's DeMario and Pete Werner, you mentioned Zach Bond being one of those free agents for this offseason. Do they need to draft a linebacker?
For depth, probably, yeah. I mean, get someone in the mix. And then if you lose Bond, maybe you want someone that can, you know, maybe you want someone that's a little bit more traditional. Is I don't know if you draft a strong side linebacker, though. It's just such an outdated position. So, I mean, I think you get someone in there with like a certain type of skills and then you kind of cater it to that. Like, I don't think you go out and draft a strong side linebacker, but they could definitely draft like, you know, someone mid-round, weak side guy. Someone, Nephi Sewell had a pretty serious ACL injury. Mm-hmm. So like maybe he doesn't come back the same. So I think getting somebody else in there that you could develop and maybe get something a little bit more out of. I think that's something that they could definitely probably take a look at.
They've had success drafting mid-round guys, too. Alante Taylor was a second-round pick, Paulson Adiba third round, and Alvin Kamara third round. Eric McCoy was a second-round pick. I mean, they could potentially find a linebacker in that area.
They're great everywhere but the first round,
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. And look, we'll see what happens in this year's draft. I'm curious to see when we do go to the Senior Bowl is what's the flock of linebackers like? Is it the prototypical linebacker that the Saints typically want? I feel like we'll be able to see if Michael Hodges is there at the Senior Bowl. As he has his eyes on anybody, we'll be making sure to bring you all of that content. All right, we're seeing a lot of movement in the NFL, whether that be GMs or head coaches. Speaking of retirement, too, when do you think Mickey Loomis would want to hang it up? This is not a segment of Mickey Loomis is retiring. This is just an if. But when do you think this guy would want to?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him recently. I mean, and he has a lot of gas in the tank. I mean, I think he's still passionate about what he's doing, rebuilding it, all that stuff. I think he wants to figure it out. You know, obviously, he just got to 200 wins. That puts him in rarefied territory. You really look at that list, it's kind of crazy who he's up there with. There's not a lot of people that reach out, Mark, and I think all of them are in the Hall of Fame that have made it there. So, I mean, I think he's still going to be around for a little bit. I don't see it. Is he just doesn't seem like somebody that's winding down. Now, granted, I don't know how old is Mickey. Let's look this up real quick.
Well, so he just finished his 22nd season as the GM. He's the fourth longest tenured GM behind Jerry Jones, Mike Brown, and Bill Belichick.
Yeah. So
which Bill Belichick, you expect him to lose the GM title wherever he goes, right?
Maybe. I mean, I think he'll have help at least. I mean, what, Mickey is 66 years old. So, I mean, you're always in that range of where, and he's got grandchildren. I mean, there's just always, there's always that possibility where you're just like, man, you know what? I want to spend this time with my family and that's it. And like people make that decision and they go into it, you know, usually, and they don't regret it. But, you know, just as far as talking to Mickey being around, like I don't see it yet. I don't see him being ready to quit.
When do you think you would know with a general manager like Mickey Loomis? You've covered him longer than we have here. When do you feel like he would be somebody that would drop breadcrumbs, or would it be a Nick Saban where it's like, what happened?
Yeah, I think he'll probably just go, or like he'll move into a different role or something like that. I don't Mickey's not like a loud, dramatic guy. Like, I was surprised Mickey talked on the radio all year. Like, that was like, Mickey's usually so far behind the scenes.
Man, they're killing him with questions too.
It was surprising to me to even see him do that. And it's good that, you know, people get to hear from him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think Mickey's going to be loud, or it's just going to be something that kind of happens and off he goes.
I'd love to have him on the show too, ahead of the 2023 season, and just kind of get the peek behind the blinds, just like we did with Damari Davis, kind of like peeled the curtain back on what his process is. I'd like to hear from Mickey Loomis just about his day-to-day and how he's feeling. I know he probably doesn't love being in front of the mic right now, just because WWL, I believe WWL Radio is what he's been on.
He came out here last year.
He was getting hit with some questions, though, this year. And I'm just like, dang, man, he's standing in there and taking it. But we'll see. We'll hear from Mickey Loomis, though, at the Senior Bowl. Do we expect to hear from him before that?
I don't know.
Don't know. We'll see what happens. Again, we expect some change on the way next week. Whether we will hear it next week, we will see. But coming up, we will hear from you, our NOF audience, with our question of the day. And Coach Nick is back for that money segment. We'll be right back.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, softshell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Welcome back to the NOF studio. Let's get to our moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. We've been talking about it all in the first block about a potential domino falling on Monday. It could be anybody on the offensive coaching staff, but we do expect to see one fall next week. Who could be that first domino?
I'm not really comfortable throwing names out there like that. Yeah. I mean, these are like people's lives or whatever. So I don't want to like, you know.
We're going to talk about it next week.
Yeah,
for
when
sure.
It happens, yeah. It happens. I probably feel more comfortable getting in on that. But like, I think it's definitely, you know, I think everybody on the offensive staff is definitely a possibility to go. Because like, there could be just the whole, mm-hmm. we're getting rid of everybody and we're starting over clean. We're going to bring in a new OC. He can bring in all of his guys and you start over from scratch. Like, I think that's definitely a possibility. It's something that I would probably consider if I was a head coach. But it could be, you know, this guy here, that guy there, kind of filling around them. It kind of really depends on what they're going to do with Pete Carmichael. I think if you're somebody on that side of the ball, though, I think that the tea leaves are blowing towards, you know, a decent amount of them probably getting replaced. But, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to sit here and like, guess at it. Like, it's just not – it feels a little unseemly.
Two guys that are absolutely loved by the players in that locker room, Joel Thomas and Ronald Curry. I have not heard of two assistant coaches on the offensive side of the football be talked about more highly. How many times is Alvin Kamara pumping up JT and Derek Hart talking about how Ronald Curry has helped him? We had a chance to talk with both Ronald Curry and Joel Thomas. We appreciate you both for the time you guys took for one-on-ones at not fun times, let's just be honest about it, during the season when things were kind of crumbling. Because we did talk to them at the beginning when Kendre Miller was still a question mark and he was dealing with injuries. Alvin Kamara was coming back from suspension. Jamal Williams wasn't really what they had expected at the beginning. And then when we talked to Ronald Curry, that was the roller coaster ride at the beginning of the season with Derek Carr. But both of them have just been so attentive. How many times are we rolling out there in pregame and we see Joel Thomas using those extra reps to get Kendre Miller ready, getting Jamal Williams right, getting Alvin Kamara right? And same thing with Ronald Curry. He is a true player's coach, and I know the guys love him in that locker room. And it's what this business is. It's going to happen. It is a performance-based league, and The offensive line struggled. I want to say with the running backs, I think they just missed on Jamal Williams or maybe just didn't use him the right way. Kendre Miller, you didn't expect the injuries that you had, but wide receivers here and there. There's just so many things that you could finger point, but man, the offensive line credit. I mean, credit where credit is due. Like it was okay by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I feel like this conversation that we would have would be so much different if the offensive line was as bad as it was at the beginning of the year, right?
I mean, the schemes was tough too. Like if they're using play action earlier, they probably block better a little bit early on. The players, you know, Trevor Penning proved to not be somebody that could be on the field. So I mean, I think that was an issue. You know, I think it just kind of all goes hand in hand in hand. It's just the question is it run its course on that side of the ball? And I mean, that's the thing that they're, I think, probably trying to figure out this week.
Let's flip to the defensive side. Dennis Allen isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It baffles me that people are still surprised when they hear us say this or tweet this. I see that you're having to constantly remind people that he's not going anywhere, but that doesn't mean he's just going to bring everybody back. I think that's something that could be looked at. Do we expect maybe some changes with the way they're constructing the defensive line or even the defensive line coach?
No, I mean, I think they probably do bring everybody back. I mean, that,
really?
That's
you think every assistant on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that side of the ball performed pretty well. I mean, there was some inconsistency or whatever, but it's a top 10 unit. DA is a great defensive coach. You know, the D-line, you can point at the D-line coach, but who do you have? Like, who are his players? You didn't have anybody that could rush the passer, really. I mean, maybe there's a change, but if there's a change on if Todd Grantham isn't brought back, like, I don't know. It's kind of like, did he not do a good job or did he not have the right pieces to do a good job with?
The philosophy, they tried it, it was wrong, that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't have any pass rushers. So it's kind of hard for me to be like, well, he wasn't coaching it right. Like, who was he coaching?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of tough. And then, you know, Cam's injured the whole year. So I don't know. I would kind of be surprised. I don't know. You could see some tweaking over there, but I would be pretty surprised if they make changes on the defensive staff.
They might not make changes, but do we expect them to maybe bring any outside help in? We saw during training camp John Gruden helping a little bit. I believe it was training camp when John Gruden was with the Saints for a week. Could we see maybe some help on the defensive side of the ball, them adding help?
I don't think they need it. I mean, I don't. Like, who's going to tell DA how to coach defense better? Like, DA is a great defensive coach. People can hate him and they can talk all they want. If he got fired, everybody in the league would, there's a lot of teams that would fire their people to hire DA. Like, he's that guy. Like, he's that good at coaching defense. Like, I don't know who's going to come in and open his eyes to, like, defensive philosophy when he's the guy that the stuff he does is trendsetting for the rest of the league. Like, he's that guy. Like, so no, I don't think they need it. I mean, there's always a possibility of, like, someone he's cool with, if they get let go, you could bring them in and they're there for just more brain power. But this, like, suggests there's a need. I just don't see it.
Well, there was a lot of bad. The run defense at the beginning of the season, leading into the middle, defending mobile quarterbacks. Yes. And I also, though, like, I'll zag a little bit on your topic. I think it is still a lot of the coaching. Now, he's not going anywhere. And we did see them be able to manage those issues at the end of the season a little bit better as far as mobile quarterbacks. Look what they did against Baker Mayfield. Look what they did against Desmond Ridder. You look back at the first matchups against the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Bucs at the beginning of the year, and you're like, oh my God, if that were to happen back-to-back matchups when they face both of those two teams, then it would be like, okay, we're in a little bit of a different scenario. But the fact that we did see improvement at the end of the year, it's just, there is some room for concern. We'll see if them getting new players fixes it. That'll be the answer, is if they bring in these dogs at defensive end that are out there and available, these like big dudes. I think they need to get back to size and get back to,
I think they got to get smaller and faster for the quarterback stuff. I mean, I think that's the issue. It's a player issue.
Well, that's what they tried on the inside. It didn't work this year though.
Yeah,
like,
but
the
they went out and got. So a lot of the issues with the quarterbacks is because A, like, Carl Granderson rushes too wide and there wasn't a lot of integrity. And then B, on the other side, you didn't have the speed. Like, you need smaller guys that can run them down. And like, when you got Zach Baum rushing, then you had a smaller guy that could run people down.
Yeah.
So it's a philosophy of being too big. And I mean, look, if you go look at Atlanta, what can't they do? They can't defend mobile quarterbacks either. And it's because Ryan Nielsen wants these big hulking guys. And that's kind of what the Saints became underneath Ryan Nielsen. And I've heard from people in the Saints, you know, with the Saints, that they're going to change that a little bit. Like, they aren't changing their prototype or whatever, but like, just the big hulking ideal, like, that's going to change because that's just not what football is anymore. So I think it's a player issue more so than coaching. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't think there's a person in the league you know, there's maybe probably if there's a top five defensive mind list, like DA's on it, and there's no doubt about it. And you could ask every GM coach in the league to vote on that, and DA is going to be in their top five. He is that guy on defense. Like he is. Like he had a special teams gunner playing cornerback, and his secondary was shutting people down because he schemes it that well. Like he is that good. And there was a little lag in the middle of the season where I felt like he kind of got away from some of the ways they play defense, and it kind of became more
he got less aggressive.
It became more reactive than attacking, but then he recognized that and got back to attacking. And I mean, that stuff's going to happen through the ebbs and flows through a season, but like his downs were still better than most people's highs. So I think if you get him good players, and that's on him, you know, he's told us this week he's involved in the personnel, but I think if you get him better players, a lot of the issues that we saw with the defense get alleviated. Like, they didn't suddenly forget how to play run defense. Like, they've been a great run defense for a while. They just don't have good guys up front. And I think that's the issue with it right now. So you get a better front, I think a lot of the stuff that we're talking about just kind of goes by the wayside.
I know they felt good about when they first brought in Colin Saunders and Nathan Shepard. I wonder what direction they go in. Brian Brzee ain't going anywhere. I think he will be developed and could potentially be somebody who is really solid on the interior defensive line, but who do they go get? Is that in the draft that they go get a nose tackle, or is that in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe both.
Maybe both. We'll see what happens. We'll see if they can get another bruiser in here, or they go small and fast. We'll see what happens. I know
small and fast on the edge. I mean, not small, but fast
and
on
it's
the edge.
So it's interesting. In training camp, how often did Dennis Allen and anybody on the defense, they kept talking about the interior defensive line specifically getting shorter and faster. Like, it wasn't a lot of conversation about the outside.
No, it was the guys on the outside. They wanted them to lose weight. They had Granderson lose weight.
But I remember, like, talking with Colin Saunders, and he had said when he came, like, I remember his first day here in New Orleans, he was like, oh, like, we got smaller guys, we're going to be quicker, like, all that stuff. And he was saying some of the things that DA had said, and that was surprising to me, is like, is that philosophy going to work, at least on the inside? And I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I think on the ends, like getting a little bit lighter so they're faster is definitely something that would make sense.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, it's the money segment backed by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Coach is back with his money play of the 2023 season.
The Falcons game.
Oh, Falcons game. Money play of the Falcons game. Let's go. Could be a 2023.
There was an update.
Uh-oh.
So, this is just the Falcons game. So we got play here, kind of a big gain they got on this one. And I just kind of, again, like the design and some of this different stuff they did on this play. And really the throw and the catch is really, really more so why I'm highlighting this one. And the play is going to be to Shahid, and it's up the seam. And we'll just draw the whole route concept, though. You got A.T. Perry running the deep crosser there. You got Olave kind of like on a deep hitch here. Foster comes around, he blocks, and you get just kind of a little in and out thing here from Kendra Miller. So just kind of watching the play develop a little bit, highlighting it because you got some play action, and then just look at this protection, man. You kind of got everybody in there, just great protection across the board. Foster coming over to just kind of help out on that side. But everything is so clean there, and then you kind of get everybody just kind of sitting a little bit. Doesn't really matter because you're going deep on this play to Shahid, who kind of gets that inside release there. And right here is where, and this is great. Like, again, look at this protection. If you give Carr this, like, he's going to eat every single time. So you got that nice halo there right across, and then you got Shahid here. And look at, you got the safety, hips turned the wrong way. This safety's kind of still engaged here watching that, and you got Shahid right here. And if you give this guy with this kind of speed, this going right up, he's going to eat every single time. And there's the moment. Like, Carr's already on him, ball's already coming out. Shahid, give me the ball.
Hand.
Give me the rock. Give me the rock. And he throws it, get the great catch there against the tight coverage. End zone view on this. Like, just look at that. Crazy. Yeah, it's just a crazy catch. So.
Oh, and did you see him at the end go up into the, I think he's the first player who's gone in the suites.
Oh, you went in the suites?
All right. Derek Carr kind of thrust him into the suites.
And then we get the end zone view here, just on the protection. And again, like, if you're giving Carr this, like, he's gonna execute every single time. So whatever you got to do, and I just, you know, I love it. You get Kendre kind of chipping on this guy right here before he goes out into his route. Caesar's looking around. Oh shit, everybody's blocked. What do I do? You know, he's just looking for something to do. But it's that well blocked that, like, there's just
ain't a bad thing.
It's kind of, you know, great. And then right here at the very end, like, you got a late blitzer coming through, like, but the ball's already out and it doesn't even matter at that point. Everybody's picked up and he had all the time in the world to get this pass out. So yeah, that was I thought that was the best play from the Falcons game for sure.
It was unbelievable. So you had a couple to choose from. You had the A.T. Perry contested catch for the touchdown. You had the Chris Olave, like, tip drill to himself, little juggling action, and he caught it. And I'm with you. The one that was my favorite play. I vividly remember going up to Rashid Shaheed and I'm like, how's your back? Because once he got up and caught it, he was like flipped and crunched down like a WWE move. And like, he gets back up, pops up, nothing's wrong. Him and Chris do their little dance, and Derek Carr like interrupted it. I remember that. And he comes over and he like throws Shaheed up, and then Shaheed's like, oh, there's fans back here. Like, I feel like the players have never gotten, maybe the suites are not close enough. I don't know what it is, because I expected, hasn't been a whole lot of touchdowns in the dome enough to like get that going.
Yeah, they should be in there all the time.
But the fact that it was so cool to finally see like a player kind of lean over and, you know, and that's why the suites are there. I mean, and it's for the fans to have that interaction. It'd be so cool to see more of that. We, of course, wanted to see the Jimmy Graham dunk and
didn't get it.
I don't know if we ever will. I can't, like, I'm trying to read like context clues from his tweets. It seems like he might be done.
I don't know.
It's so hard to read. We don't know. Like, we'll see what happens.
I would probably hope, if I was, you know, the team, that I was acquiring somebody that played a lot more snaps and made it so that you really just didn't have room for a guy that plays snaps a game.
Yeah. All right. Time now for our Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. The question is, if the season were reversed, hot start and horrible finish, would Dennis Allen still be the coach? Why is Mickey and above only looking at how they finished? It's been 2 years of strong finishes with nothing to show. It appears that as long as you finish the season strong, your job is safe.
Here's my thing. And look, I've been saying this like the whole time. Like, you got to do the honest audit of like who they played and what the 9 wins actually means, and you know, who they didn't play and who was hurt when they played them. And, you know, all this stuff, like, it all goes into it. Like, the 9 wins, yeah, it's a number, but like, you got to look at how the 9 wins is constructed. So, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of room for criticism. I've been criticizing them the whole season, probably more than anybody that covers the team. I've probably been more critical than anybody, like, extremely critical. Most of the criticisms that people share that have numbers and stats on them, that's from me. Like, I see my numbers all the time, and then they come at me like, why aren't you saying this? I gave you that number. Like, let's be realistic about it. But my thing is, he won 9 games. Let's stop acting like he won 2. Like, people are like,
it's not Carolina.
How is this logical to bring him back? Well, he won 9 games. Like, it's kind of, it's at a point where it's not outrageous to keep him as your coach, but like, people are acting like it's outrageous. And like, it's like, let's just kind of get to the middle reality here, where it's like, okay, I can sit back as a sane, logic, reasonable person and be like, I understand why they kept him. Well, at the same time being like, I don't know if this is going to go very well. And would I have made the same exact decision? I don't know. Like, if I was a GM, I might have went a different direction. I might have explored my options. I might have done a lot of things differently. But there's also a reality where if someone was like, we're keeping them, it's like, okay, I get it. Like, I kind of feel like it's a coin flip situation where either side of it is, you can make a reasonable argument. But like, people are so entrenched in this idea of like, it is just a complete, an utter outrage. And it's just like, well, I don't think it was that bad. They won 9 games. And again, I know how the 9 came together. You got to do the honest audit. You got to look at who they played. You got to look at who the quarterbacks were. You got to look at it and say, if they played a different schedule, would they have won 9? No, they wouldn't have. But like, they still won the 9. You can only play who you play. But like, I could definitely see it being a situation next year where it's like Staley. Like, if you don't get the OC hire right and all that. But I also see a scenario where, let's say you get John Gruden. I could see it working. Like, it's just kind of, it's a coin flip. So it's just like, I'm sitting back like, I'm going to wait and see what happens. I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to buy into the hype. I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to do any of that stuff until I see them win actual games next year. Like, that's where it's at now. But
yeah,
if you flipped it, no, they still won 9 games. Like, I think he comes back.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said if you were deciding, you mean you're not the guy pulling the strings for Saints? I'm kidding. Because a lot of the people seem to think that what we say on the show dictates things. Now, look, we cover the team pretty fairly, and I think that the team recognizes that. But it ain't GM Nick pulling the strings behind the curtain, as a lot of people think. It's so interesting to view it that way. And look, fair to the Saints, they won 4 of their last 5.
Yep.
There was a lot of NFL teams that did not do that. I mean, I keep bringing, we go around the NFC South each week during the season. I continue to try to harp on, at least they're not the Carolina Panthers. I mean, things could be much, much worse. And at one point, it seemed like the Falcons were even in a worse situation at the Saints, and they were by the end of the season. And you saw their head coach get fired for it. But didn't their head coach have one more year over Dennis Allen too in the system? So yes, look, we'll see what happens after this year. But look, Dennis Allen, we'll see what happens. There's a lot of moves coming. Again, Monday is going to be a huge day, not just for this YouTube page. Be sure to like and subscribe right now. It is free to you. But if you want the like real juicy details that are going to be coming out on Monday, be sure to be a member. Subscribe, as Nick said. You just go to neworleans.football/subscribe and you guys can be tapped in, because we're not going anywhere. There's no, I don't even like saying it, there's no off season over here. We're dialed in. We will be dialed in for the next few months, because from what it sounds like, that's when big stuff is gonna be happening. And then of course we've got the draft on the way, combine before that. A lot of interesting stuff going on over here at NOF. You do not want to miss it. And as always, we appreciate our NOF audience. You guys have been great to us. We want to continue to bring you guys the best content, and we will. We'll see you next time.